Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
You know, people been talking about the end of time ever since time began. We've been living in the last days ever since the first day, ever since the dawn of man. Well, nobody knows when the end is coming, but some people tell you they do. Well, it might be today, it might be tomorrow, or in a million years or two. In the meantime, in between.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 427. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
Hello, Steven Rader.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm not swimming away from all the rains. I'm pretty happy that I don't have to water my lawn, but I hear that you are building an ark and gathering animals two by two in your house.
Well, don't I wish. I think what I'm doing actually is I'm trying to recreate all of Shelley Winter's best roles. And I'm just sort of like, you know, going to drown myself. Luckily, I had a Christmas tree that when my apartment took water, Friday night, Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
I was able to, you know, climb the Christmas tree, Manny, yes. You know, that kind of thing. But it's the second time it's done this, and it's the weirdest thing. Whenever there's too much rain in a small amount of time,
there's
something happens, and the sewer system's like backs up.
Yep.
It literally just... these gates close.
Yep.
And it makes all of the manholes shoot out, like up in the air. It shoots up. And
don't
I remember
speaking
like,
about manholes with me shooting out and
shooting
up.
Out. And God, I'm sexual and I'm not even trying to be.
It's true. You're just that hot, Steven Rader. You're just
even
that
in a disaster
hot
film.
Gay man.
I'm hot. That's crazy. That's just crazy.
No, but yeah. I do think. I mean, they said that this past weekend, Friday night to Saturday, was the largest amount of rainfall since they have been recording rainfall in Chicago history. So since the late 1800s, higher than it's ever been recorded of how much fell in that particular time. And I think two out of three people that I know had flooding in their basement or, you know, are flooding in their homes. So I am grateful that I am on a little bit of higher ground where my house is because I've been on the lower end too.
It's really dreadful. Trust me. Oh, yeah. Trust me.
Yeah. But at least it cooled it off. We'd had that Chicago heat that is coming back now. But
see, you and I are used to that.
We are.
We're used to, you know, y'all, it's just going to rain. It's going to be a thunderstorm. And it's going to be hot again. Y'all just calm down. It's going to
mm-hmm.
be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandra Billings loses her mind in a thunderstorm. Loses her mind. It's hilarious.
So does my dog. I love a thunderstorm, personally, but I did lose electricity over the weekend, but it's back on.
Well, you know what my mother used to do when we were kids? She had read somewhere that the safest place to be in a thunderstorm and lightning storm was your car because of the rubber tires. So it would become a thunderstorm and we'd get in the car.
Oh, my God.
Literally put your rubber soled tennis shoes on, get you drive around, you know, rain, you know. Mom and people are staring at us. It's all right. We're safe. All right.
Oh, the things Southern women think.
Yeah.
I love it.
Exactly.
Being one, I can say women. Pardon me?
How have you been? How have
I have been good. My brother was in town over the weekend, and, you know, he lives in Tennessee as well. And we had the best time. Oh my gosh, what all did we do? We went out to dinner with folks, and we walked around Andersonville and did some home furnishing shopping and some just window shopping, and we always have a good time. He helped me look at some exercise equipment I want to buy because he's a brother and they know that kind of stuff. And then we went to go see the Homosexuals at About Face, which has extended everyone. So please note that the Homosexuals, if you've not seen it at About Face at Victory Gardens, it is unbelievable. And it is running through August 14th now. So
you don't want to be that guy who didn't see it.
Or that girl. You know what I mean? Quite honestly, I think there is something for straight, gay, male, and female in that play, because it's really about friendships. It is about falling in love with friends. It's about...
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I didn't like about Chris Jones's review, was it said, this is a very important new gay play. And I'm like, no, this is a very important new play.
It is a new gay play. I think it's both. I think it's a new important gay play to show that we're like everybody else, but I also think it's a new important play. But it's so funny, and it's been sold out. Brilliant. It was sold out this weekend because I think everyone thought it was closing, but now it's not. So people have 3 more weeks to pop in and see it. And it's not an expensive ticket. It's such, you will laugh, you will cry. It's so good. It's just,
this will tell you, I was going into Soundtrack last night. I can't imagine I did that.
Yes.
And I was passing the poster for West Side Story, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes.
That made me upset. And then there was the poster for the Homosexuals, and I was with some friends from out of town, and I tapped it. I said, this is the play to see. This is what you need to see.
Yeah.
And the guy behind me went, he's right. That's a great play. Like, it's just like everybody is seeing it and loving it. And
yeah.
It's really nothing but
a great place to cruise men. I mean, there are a lot of good men, a lot of different, diverse, and great gay men going to see this play. So, hey.
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot. It has a lot of things. It's not about just one thing.
Mm-mm. Really, no, it's a very, very smart story and very, very recognizable.
When does Philip Dawkins give us his check for doing this big plug?
I don't know. He didn't give you yours already? Okay.
F-T-E-P-H-E.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So you saw the West Side Story. Cool,
yeah.
Cool. Keep it
Did
cool.
You?
I have not seen it, so I want to hear what you think. What were your thoughts?
If this was the end-all, be-all West Side Story by... It was sort of the assistant director who worked under... Oh, what's his name? The guy that recently died who wrote the book. I'm blanking on it.
George Firth? Did George Firth write the book? Who wrote the book?
No.
And not Leonard Bernstein?
Not Leonard Bernstein. It's been some time, and I'm going to kill myself. I don't remember that. But he sort of directed the revival.
Uh-huh.
And so this... He died just... a few months ago.
Okay.
So this is sort of his assistant sort of recreation to the tour of what he did. And Arthur Lawrence. Excuse me, Arthur Lawrence.
There you go. Yes, of course.
And there was a lot of it that I went, what? I mean, you know, the very end is what killed me, because, you know, here's Tony is dead on the stage, and Maria has the gun, you know, how many bullets have in this gun? The whole thing. And when Frank comes in, she goes over the body, and instead of people coming together like the chef and the sharks to lift up Tony's body, a sort of the symbol of, you know, reunion, like, she motions to this shawl that she had at the other side of the stage. She motions to a jet to get it. He does. Hands it to her. She doesn't take it. And then she gets Evita arms for no reason whatsoever. Just Evita arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sort of figures out to drape it over her head. And when he does, she grabs his hands and gets this look on her face of, it's like Norma Desmond or something. I was like, what? And then curtain.
And then curtain.
I was like, oh, what about the dead guy?
Yeah.
Can we pick up the dead guy?
What about the energy of the ensemble? I heard it's a really strong ensemble, though.
It's a very strong ensemble. It really is a strong ensemble.
Young and energetic and supposedly...
And what they do with Officer Krupke, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
It's just worth the price of admission. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It really is great. And the dancing is wonderful. And, you know, they're doing all of the Jerome Robbins choreography. And
yep.
It just felt like there was something didn't quite work. But then again, when have we ever seen a West Side Story that I went, oh, this is the definitive West Side Story?
Yep.
There's always something that we go,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was satisfying till the end. So what it was left you was something at the end that was unsatisfying.
There were just some weird choices at places where, you know, you kind of go, you know, this is the end of West Side Story. They're going to pick Tony up. You know what I mean? This is the end of A Doll's House. She's going to walk out the door. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And when she comes back, you go, wait a minute. She's supposed to go out the door.
Yeah.
So, this is a little weird. It's a little weird. But other than that, it was, you know, it's lovely to hear that music. And
yeah,
there were people that had never seen the show. And my God.
I've never seen West Side Story on stage.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
I was the gayest riff in the history of musical theater. You know, told a sacred bar. It was horrible.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I'm telling you, I've got some friends back in Tennessee who can attest that I was the gayest riff in some panel somewhere.
Well, speaking of Tennessee, I just want to plug the fact that in today's show, because Stephen and I are both from Tennessee, we have an interview from one of our contributors at Windy City Times, Jerry Nunn, who sat down with or was on the phone, had a phone interview with Dolly Parton, who is coming this week to the Rosemont Theater. And we're going to have that interview for you in today's show. So just a little bit of Tennessee threaded throughout. Jerry's also from Tennessee. So it's four Tennesseans talking today on the on the podcast. A little Kirk Williamson thrown in. We'll just claim him being from Tennessee on the news today. And there is a ton of news going on. I guess one of the things, just to go there now, speaking of the ending of West Side Story, and tragic though it be, you know, what it teaches us or what it shows or just the enormous sadness of it, is the passing of Amy Winehouse in her London home this weekend. And 27 years old, and of course it was all over the internet and Facebook. And I, you know, I'm such a super, I love her music so much, and she did something when she really hit it big with her second CD. She did something to music that really, a wheel had started turning to this kind of like throwback sound, this kind of early modern music, Motown kind of rock music. But she really flipped it over and made the way for the fact that Adele, we're going to say in our...
I was going to say exactly.
Right. We have a big news story about Adele breaking a record in our news today on today's show. I mean, she really paved the way for Adele. She paved the way for Duffy. She paved the way for Janelle Monáe. And those are just the women. You know, I think that there's something that she did musically that was so exciting and fresh and retro, and was right in keeping with what started happening with television, with Mad Men, and just this real send-up of a different, simpler, kinder, gentler, more stylish era. And yet... you know, and yet she just couldn't live in this world. And I find it so sad. When did you hear about, were you a fan of Amy Winehouse?
I was, but you know, the way I am, if Liza Minnelli didn't record it, I could give a damn about it usually.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
such an old school, well, really I'm more of a jazz and, you know, standards guy, but I loved what she put out, you know, the hits that I heard. It's odd because it doesn't make me sad. This is very weird, I know. It doesn't make me sad. I mean, it's sad that when anyone dies, but it almost feels like she, I don't know, she was sort of living some kind of a weird life that she, I don't know if she thought these things or if she just gave into them. Maybe I'm reading a lot into this woman.
Yeah.
But, you know, she seemed to really live her life on her terms.
Yep.
And I guess I come to that from, you know, my mother has, you know, diabetes, and if she wants to eat, you know, a lot of strawberry pie, go right ahead. You know what's going to happen if you know, if this goes wrong or whatever. If you smoke, you know what the risks are.
Yep.
So it's, I guess I sort of feel like it's all our life that we have to deal with. That's very existential and philosophical for him.
Well, but I think you know, she obviously was the truest variety of an absolute low bottom addict, and yet this enormous talent. And you know, one of the things that that is coming to the fray, you know, she was 27 years old, and I was speaking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, she's really the Janis Joplin of our generation. You know, Janis brought the blues back. You know, she brought that sound back and put out, you know, less than a handful of years of iconic recordings, you know, that a bunch of, you know, but she was really the female icon that did that at that time. And I think Amy Winehouse is also going to be seen that way. But what is interesting is that Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, and Kurt Cobain all died at the age of 27, and so did Amy Winehouse. All these great artists, we talk about Kurt Cobain, you know, what he did, and every one of these people, just chronic low-bottom addicts, and probably, I mean, you like to say, oh, Amy Winehouse had a better shake because she was in and out of rehab, she was diagnosed with emphysema for smoking crack cocaine, you know, just, I think it was last year, the doctor said, you know, you can repair your lungs and probably leave this state of emphysema if you quit, but if you continue, you will die from it. So, you know, who knows if it's just her lungs shut down? Who knows, you know, what the real cause? I mean, the real cause to me is addiction, and somebody who could just not fight that monkey on her back. She could just not fight that demon. As much as I think, you know, who knows how much she tried, but she definitely went to rehab, and obviously those voices in her head, in her body, were just louder than her ability to stop. And and I just find that so sad. I find that sad. I agree. I
find that I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago about things in my life, and I think that there are a lot of people like me that when certain things happen that I can't really deal with, I'm very photo hair. I know I can't deal with it.
Yep.
I know that today, not the day to deal with it.
Yep.
So I sort of put my head in the sand. And for a lot of people, that makes absolutely no sense. And it doesn't make sense.
Yep.
But
it's
I
not
know
logical.
That's how I deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's survival for that moment, for that day.
Well, Dick Cavett says that depression is sitting in a chair and seeing the cure to depression across the room on a table and not being able to get out of the chair.
Exactly.
And if you don't understand that, it's hard to sort of, well, why don't you just get out of the chair? Well, I can't.
Exactly.
You know, I think a lot of these people have those things that they just, that's how they deal with it.
Yeah.
They're trying to deal, make the boast. And,
well, and I think in a way, she, I mean, her biggest hit will always be rehab. And she's shown a light on, you know, staking her claim that this is what I am and who I am. And, I mean, she is quoted in the past 2 years as saying she really wants to stop and she really wanted to, you know, redefine herself. But she was so defined by that. You know, the jokes were about that. The common culture was about that. And she herself had written a song about it. So, And I think she had written her song about her, many songs about her darkness, you know, and and once again, I just think that she will go down in history along with those other people that I mentioned, and so many great talents losing their life very early to addiction, and they're not always
here's
in music.
That you and I, maybe in about 4 or 5 years, you know, we're going to die from some kind of a horrible addiction. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I don't
think.
We're
only 22.
Exactly. We need to skate through at least 6 more years, Stephen, and then we're in the clear.
Mine is the Cold Stone Creamery. Not pretty. Not pretty.
I don't know what mine is right now. I don't really have one, but we do have some big news. Kirk Williamson and I are going to be giving you all the news that came out in the past week. I think that one of the interesting things that I just want to touch on before I go to our news break is that there has finally been some Senate hearings for the first time in almost 15 years on the Defense of Marriage Act. The Senate had some hearings on the Respect for Marriage Act. I like the sound of that a whole lot more. That bill would reverse or repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. And, you know, to say that we haven't really had a hearing or discussed this in 15 years is kind of like, you know, somebody telling you some horrible secret and then you speak of it, you know, for not 15 years. But I've had a lot of people say to me like, well, what is it really? You know, we've got civil unions now and we're getting that state to state and some states are being able to marry. And so it's OK. It just can stay a state to state thing. But, you know, the really significant thing about the Defense of Marriage Act is that there are over 1,000, I think there's over 1,100 or something, you know, federal rights that it doesn't matter that New York now has gay marriage. I mean, it does. I don't mean to say it doesn't. But on a federal level, on a national level, it doesn't matter about Iowa and Washington, D.C. and New York and Hawaii and Massachusetts and even civil unions in Illinois. Because so many rights and benefits for same-sex couples will not be honored. And some of those are Social Security, which I've been talking about for years, saying that a lot of this has to do with economics and money. Federal employee health benefits for spouses. So if you work on a federal government level, it would affect you. You know, this is a huge issue for people with a partner born in another country. To sponsor, you know, your partner to be here in the U.S. and also filing of joint tax returns. I mean, those are just a few. So, you know, the really personal is being able to live in the same country with your partner. The economic is these Social Security not going to our surviving partners or not getting the cost breaks that one would get if we were able to file jointly. So, you know, and so there's just and that and a many, 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 many others that are not protected by these state by state rulings. So if DOMA
I'm weird. I don't really
help.
Think about all of that. But I think about I was one of the people that said, look, religious people have an issue or a stake in the word marriage. You know, what about civil unions? And let's try to make them as equal as possible. And maybe understand that that's a precious word to people who are religious. And maybe, you know, and after about a year or two or five, after we had civil unions and, you know, they'll be like, it's a marriage, who cares? They won't even think about it. But to fight over a word, except when they did the Defense of Marriage Act, when that happened, then you have to fight for it.
You do.
I've been telling you, you can't have it.
That's exactly right, Stephen Rader, because I remember when that happened and I was on Lesbi Gay Radio and, you know, this was early when Hawaii was, you know, wanting to pass because they were the first. And I was kind of like, I don't know that I want to get married. Why do we want to conform? Why do we want to blah, 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 blah? You know, it's a religious thing, right?
Because you told me I can. Exactly.
Yeah. And then, but then when they did DOMA and leading up to DOMA, when they started throwing marriage, you know, as the political wedge issue in every campaign, like they had abortion or other hot topic issues, the death penalty. Now we don't even talk about that. You know, I said, okay, conservatives have now made this our issue, and it has to be our issue now. And DOMA,
I tried to explain that to someone I was doing a show with when the whole thing hit. He was like, but you don't really want that. And I'm like, well, I really don't. But if you tell me I can't have it, now I have to fight for it.
Right. Well,
I have to fight for it.
Yeah, because somebody wants to have it, you know. And so if you're going to penalize us, so...
Exactly.
It's more will be revealed about all of DOMA, but the Senate hearings have begun. So in the wake of what's happening with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is going to be at the top of our news story, it is exciting that there is some momentum, even though we are still heading into the election season now, pretty hard and heavy. We would think that there would be some quiet and there wouldn't be any rumblings about this. But with New York and Don't Ask, Don't Tell and now Senate hearings on DOMA, we are at the forefront again and we're starting to gain some momentum. So it's pretty exciting.
And Michelle Bachmann's husband should look into this. It's going to be very important to him.
It is going to be very important to him.
Man, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Somewhere like, you know, Paul Lynde is going, now that's faggy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Paul Lynde is like, oh, now her. Give me a break.
Every time Every time Michelle Bachman speaks, another closeted homosexual gets its wings. That's what we should say.
Oh, my God. It's totally, isn't it great?
Yeah.
Was it John Stewart said that he buys brawny paper towels for the packaging?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I did not hear that.
Yes. Oh, I'm looking forward to Dolly interview.
Well, I am too. So we're going to take you to the news and what's going on in the theater scene. And then we're going to be back with Dolly Parton here on the Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
President Obama has certified a repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on gays serving openly in the military. Obama called the statute a law that undermines our military readiness and violates American principles of fairness and equality. Our military will no longer be deprived of the talents and skills of patriotic Americans just because they happen to be gay or lesbian. The repeal will take place in 60 days.
The United States Senate approved the confirmation of openly gay attorney J. Paul Otkin to serve as the United States District Court Judge. His nomination was historic in that he is the first openly gay man to be nominated a federal district court judge. The vote was 80 to 13, with 7 senators not voting.
In Utah, Democrats elected Jim DeBacchus state party chair in an overwhelming majority, making him the first openly gay person to hold that position. Democrats also narrowly selected Brian Dowdy, who is gay, to fill the state House seat vacated by former Representative Jackie Biskupski, who was the first openly gay lawmaker in the state.
A dozen individuals threw glitter all over the waiting room of Bachman & Associates, the clinic headed by GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachman and her husband. The clinic reportedly is engaged in reparative therapy to supposedly cure homosexuality. Nick Espinoza, who was behind a glittering of Newt Gingrich in May, organized this incident.
Trans woman Lachey McLean, age 23, was fatally shot in Washington, D.C., about 10 blocks from a home for LGBT homeless youth where McLean had sought housing assistance. McLean, who went by the nickname Shay, was a regular client of a D.C. nonprofit organization that provides housing, counseling, and medical testing for LGBT youth.
In North Carolina, Asheville police have classified an assault on a man perceived to be gay as a hate crime and arrested 2 suspects. However, the officer who failed to file an initial report is being investigated. Luke Hankins, who said he is not gay, said that 3 men and 1 woman used anti-gay slurs before one of the men punched him. North Carolina state statutes do not recognize hate crimes based on gender identity or sexual orientation.
In Colorado, a push to legalize same-sex marriage got a boost when a proposed ballot measure cleared the state title board. Supporters must now collect approximately 86,000 signatures to nail down a spot on next year's ballot. If approved, the measure would nullify the state's 2006 voter-approved constitutional amendment banning marriage equality, replacing it with new language that defines marriage as the union of 2 people.
In North Carolina, Durham City Council unanimously passed a resolution opposing a statewide referendum on a constitutional ban on marriage equality. Carrboro and Chapel Hill, which offer domestic partner benefits and allow people to register at their town halls as domestic partners, have already officially opposed the amendment. There is already a state law prohibiting same-sex marriage.
More evidence suggests that the hepatitis C virus can be transmitted sexually. The virus is normally thought to be transmitted through blood, but evidence shows that sexual activity, primarily anal sex among gay men, may play a role in the disease's transmission. Hepatitis C, which affects more than 3 million individuals in the U.S., can cause severe liver disease and even death if untreated.
In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has declared that clerks who do not wish to perform same-sex marriages should find another line of work. You don't get to say, I like this law and I'll enforce this law, or I like this law and I won't enforce this law. You can't do that, Cuomo said. If you can't enforce a law, then you shouldn't be in that position. 2 town clerks have resigned since the marriage measure passed.
Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley has said he would strongly push for a marriage equality bill similar to the one that recently passed in New York. Legislators could discuss a marriage equality measure as soon as early January.
In Chicago, more than 65 LGBT leaders and Lakeview residents packed into the 23rd District Police Community Room to brainstorm solutions to neighborhood crime. The event was the first amicable gathering by residents in the community, many of whom had expressed concern that anti-crime efforts were targeting already marginalized queer youth.
In California, gay San Diego resident Jason Cowboy Huggins was stoned to death. Huggins, a native of Clarksville, Tennessee, was beaten so violently that he sustained serious brain damage. Police arrested Joshua Larson. 2 years ago, Huggins testified against Larson in a criminal case in which Larson was charged with drug possession and grand theft.
In world news, visiting Guatemala recently, current Miss Universe Ximena Navarrete met with transgender women who have been victims of abuse and discrimination. Navarrete expressed support for transgender women, saying they deserve legal protections and better access to employment and medical care.
In Canada, a transgender Calgary resident won a radio station's controversial breast implant contest. Avery, the winner of the AMP radio contest, garnered 76% of the approximately 30,000 online votes. Avery said the implants would mean not having to face so much bigotry on a daily basis. Alberta stopped covering sexual reassignment surgeries to save the government $700,000 annually.
In Cuba, Mariela Castro Espín, the niece of Fidel Castro and the director of the National Center for Sex Education, is leading the state-sanctioned movement towards LGBT rights. Espín has introduced changes such as the 2008 announcement that Cuba would perform free gender reassignment surgery for transsexuals who qualify. Fidel Castro expressed regret in 2010 over sending numerous gays to concentration camps in the 1960s and 70s.
And also, a Cuban gay rights activist and his transgender fiancé plan to marry on former Castro's birthday, August 13th. Wendy Arepa, age 37, who became a woman in Cuba's first state-sanctioned free sexual reassignment operation in 2007, and Ignacio Estrada, who is 31 and has AIDS, will tie the knot on Castro's 85th birthday.
And in entertainment news, Major League Baseball's San Diego Padres have signed Glisson's Respect Challenge. The players have pledged to avoid name-calling and language that puts down others because of differences, such as race, sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, or religion.
British singer Adele's CD 21 has become the biggest-selling digital album in the U.S. The Rolling in the Deep singer's second studio album surpassed 1 million downloads in the U.S. just a week after Eminem became the first artist to do so with Recovery.
Idina Menzel will return to Glee next season as the mother of character Rachel Berry. Menzel's arc could span as many as 12 episodes. She will return from New York to Ohio to join William McKinley High School as a new teacher, thus complicating things.
Bette Midler has dropped out of HBO's Phil Spector biopic after suffering a herniated disc. Midler was to play Linda Keeney Baden, one of the record producer's defense attorneys during his murder trial. Al Pacino is playing Spector. Helen Mirren will take over as Midler's role.
The BBC removed a gay sex scene from the season of Torchwood, even though it aired in the United States. The station reportedly cut the scene involving an encounter between the pansexual Captain Jack Hernis, played by out actor John Barrowman, and a bartender because it was too explicit, not because it was gay. The scene has already aired on the United States cable network Starz.
Desperate Housewives' Eva Longoria stars in the indie film Without Men and has a love scene with co-star Kate Del Castillo. In the film, Longoria is the de facto woman in charge of a Latin American village that loses all of its men when they are forcibly recruited by a bunch of guerrilla revolutionaries. Eventually, U.S. journalist Christian Slater comes to town, sparks an affair with her, but in the interim, all the sexual encounters are lesbian.
Kevin Keller, the gay character of the Archie comics, will star in a monthly comic in which he becomes president of his Riverdale High School class. The miniseries will also go into Keller's personal life, including his future, which includes marriage.
Barbra Streisand's releasing a new album entitled What Matters Most. Barbra Streisand sings the lyrics of Alan and Marilyn Bergman on August 22nd. Her 2009 album, Love is the Answer, made the 69-year-old the first musician to have number one albums in five consecutive decades.
And singer Amy Winehouse, 27, was found dead at her London home on July 23rd. Winehouse had a long battle with drugs and alcohol that overshadowed her recent musical career. She pulled out of a comeback tour last month after she was booed at the first gig in Serbia when she was too drunk to perform. Her 2006 album, Back to Black, brought her global stardom, winning 5 Grammy Awards. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Levi Kreis, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
For the week of July 25th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. About Face Theater presents the hottest gay show of the summer, The Homosexuals by Philip Dawkins, extended now through August 14th at Victory Gardens Theater. Garnering critical praise and 3 stars from the Chicago Tribune, this hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now to The Homosexuals at aboutfacetheater.com.
Looking for comedy, fashion, and catfights? Well, The Real Housewives have nothing on the ladies of Circle Theater's production of the witty 1930s comedy, The Women, playing now through August 14th. For more information or to order tickets to The Women, go to circle-theater.org. Sharpen your claws. These ladies don't play fair.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
As constant as the sun making its journey through the heavens. And we'll always be together, you and I. Together you and I can stop the rain and make the sunshine. Paint a pretty rainbow brush with love.
So everybody, Dolly Parton is one of mine and Steven Rader's probably favorite of all celebrities, I would say. Greatly shaped both of our lives, sure, and continues to. And I know you've got the new CD.
Oh yes.
And oh, yes. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I really love it. I think especially the first 2 tracks are just killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I can't get past the first 2 tracks. Let's say that. Yeah, I keep playing them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's really strong music. She does things with you know, an ABA kind of a style of a song. She really kind of messes with the form of a song over and over and over and over. If you're not really paying attention, it sort of goes right past you. But she plays with it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of songs from 9 to 5 the Musical in there.
Yep.
That are really good. I mean, God, the first 2 tracks are just love.
How does this fare compared to Backwoods Barbie? Because I have to say, you know, I went through that period of Little Sparrow and The Grass is Blue, her Bluegrass trio of albums there that were so exciting to me. Backwoods Barbie, I enjoyed, is not one of mine that is at the top of my... Do you think that this is more... launching into what's next, because there is talk that, you know, she's going to have a story of her life here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Very much so. I think that Backwoods Barbie was kind of like a big shot at trying to get a good top 40 or two hit in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was packed with that kind of an idea. And I think that it didn't quite take off as she thought. And so now this album is really just sort of, I think it's really a lot more of what she wants to put out right now.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like White Limousine.
Yes.
That album, you know, I love White Limousine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what's going on in her right now. Close the page and she moves on.
Well, it's exciting. She's going to be at the Rosemont Theater this Thursday, July 28th. I think there are still maybe some seats, probably not the best seats unless you get them on Craigslist or somewhere. But,
you miss Dolly. Look at her. I mean, my God.
Yeah, it's Dolly. Every seat's a good seat. Let's listen to Jerry Nunn as he sits with Dolly Parton and chats a little bit about where she is with her career right now, the gay community, and what's coming up.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing good.
The last time I saw you was at the 9 to 5 premiere in Chicago.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. When we get the road tour.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Well, good to talk to you.
Yeah, we made it Dolly Parton Day, so it was a big thing.
Oh, that's right, you did. That was a really fun time. I even took off from doing the movie I was doing in Atlanta and came down to do that because it was a real important thing for us to come to Chicago.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having Dolly Day.
And how did the movie go? How was it working with Queen Latifah?
Oh, it was great. We had a ball. I never enjoyed anything more. We were there for 3 months, actually, mm-hmm. January, February, March. Mm-hmm. And we finished up. Then that movie comes out, I think, on January the 12th next year. It's a Warner Brothers film called mm-hmm. Joyful Noise. It's a music-driven movie with gospel music. It's about a choir that competes around the country and the economy being bad and the unlikely friendship of these two women, which is Queen Latifah and myself. And so it was, we had a wonderful time working with all the people. So I think it's very uplifting, and mm-hmm. you are to go see it.
Yeah, well, you're on the soundtrack, right?
I wrote 4 of the songs, plus I sang on bunches of stuff on the soundtrack, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You just did a cartoon, too, the Romeo and Juliet.
Well, that was short and sweet. Actually, I didn't do much. I just kind of called the race and just did one little thing. They had this little character in there, and it was just fun to do. I did that mostly because my little nieces and nephews and all the little kids I know, I thought, well, why not?
And let's talk about this new album. The first song is so feisty. I really love it.
Oh, In the Meantime?
Yes, In the Meantime.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs because I think it kind of sums up what's going on in the world, my attitude about it, and how everybody's just kind of so down in the dumps and worrying, waiting for the end of time instead of trying to do something about it, enjoying the time they got. Mm-hmm. And I really thought this whole album, I wanted to write stuff to kind of uplift people and mm-hmm. give a little positive spin on a lot of this negativity.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Now, is there a video you're making for Together You and I?
Yes, the video comes out next week, and
okay.
Trey Fanjoy, who was the director of the year here at CMT this year, mm-hmm. She did this wonderful video that kind of shows people from all over the world and love in all forms and fashions, more of a universal love, and it's a beautiful video. Mm. And so we'll be having that real soon, and the album of course comes out June 28th, the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all sorts of good things going with our tour coming up, and mm-hmm. on July 17th we start our World Better Day World Tour,
uh-huh.
named after the album, of course. We got a lot of mm-hmm. good, positive stuff in that, some mm-hmm. new and different things for the fans.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about touring?
People, the audience. Mm-hmm. I love that. Of course, I love to travel because I'm a gypsy, but I really enjoy actually performing to the fans that love to see it. I've been around so many years. I've just worked so many audiences, so many mm-hmm. types of shows. Since the beginning for me, it's kind of fun to watch how things change and mm-hmm. all the different fans I have, from little bitty kids now, from watching Hannah Montana with Aunt Dolly, to mm-hmm. some of my older fans, and then some of the newer ones kind of discovering my music. And so it's really a fun trip for me, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the tour bus like? Can you describe the tour bus?
Well, my tour bus is set up great. I've always had a tour bus. Mm-hmm. I've traveled on a tour bus since 1967,
mm-hmm.
but the bus I have now is, you know, they have such updated modern versions where there's more room, especially when you've stopped. You can kind of let the sides out and you have a real home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stay in hotels, so
mm-hmm.
I just live on my bus. I got everything from my kitchen to my TVs, DVDs, and all my books and ways to carry my wigs and my costumes. So I'm set up good for that.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to, you know, take off the wig and go to Kroger without people recognizing you, or?
Well, if I went to Kroger's, I wouldn't take off my wig. I don't go grocery shopping too much, and when I do, it's usually like in the wee hours, like mm-hmm. after midnight.
Sure.
And if I'm really wanting to cook certain things for like a special occasion, that mm-hmm. certain things that I really need and I don't trust anybody else to find,
mm-hmm.
I still will go to the store, but I usually just kind of dress like myself and go in, because
uh-huh.
I can't be disguised, because if I open my mouth, you know it's me. I sound as different as it looks. so
right.
There's no point in going and embarrassing myself by looking like hell.
That's a good point. What is the craziest thing a fan has ever asked you to do?
There's all kinds of things people do ask me to do, but I tell this story that's a true story. It's freaky. Mm-hmm. But years ago when I first started being a big star, I had fans that were fanatical. Uh-huh. And it was when Jolene was a big hit,
uh-huh.
or had been like for a year or so. And when we came home one day, and there was a baby in a box at our gate, uh-huh. and a note in it, a little baby, uh-huh. and the note said, "My name is Jolene. My mama's left me here. She wants you to have me." And of course, we all freaked out. Of course, we immediately call human services and, you know, the people that, or whoever that is you call, because I just freaked. I couldn't believe it. Of course, we took care of the baby till they got there, mm-hmm. and took it in. We never did know or hear anything about it because I knew nothing. There was nothing else. So I'm sure that, but what do you do with a thing like that? So there are some loony people in this.
That's so true, yeah.
I know. Can you picture yourself in that situation? Can you imagine? It wasn't like a kitten or a puppy. It was a baby named Jolene.
Well, maybe Jolene will be coming to your concert.
Well, I don't think that person would probably ever even know about that.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
The way that went down. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was no way to really track it, and I didn't want to. I didn't even want, because I certainly couldn't take the baby, and I didn't want to be involved, and I wanted the police and the people to know we had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know whatever happened. We just made our statement and whatever it was. I mean, it was nothing there. I don't even remember how that all went down. But that was, to answer your question, that's about the freakiest, wildest.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild thing.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you have a huge gay following. They always love you, your gay fans. So I just wanted to give a, you know, shout out to them.
Well, hey, big shout out to them. In fact, we have fun with my gay crowd. We've always got them, especially we're going to California. We're in LA for 2 days at the Hollywood Bowl and in San Francisco. And we've already, like so many of my gay fans, have already said, "We're going to be there. We're on the front row. We got this. We got that." So I love it, though. I've always loved my gay fans. They accept me and I accept them. And we get along just fine, and I'm very proud and honored when they dress up like me or whatever they want to do.
Right. And you're going to Australia, too, on this tour.
Yes. Actually, we start, our world tour starts July 17th in Knoxville, and then we work the States. August, we go to Europe. In October, we come back, do some more shows here. Then November, mm-hmm. We go to Australia to finish out the year. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to that whole deal.
Mm. Now, see, I'm from Tennessee, and I grew up there. I grew up in Hendersonville.
Oh, okay.
I went to church
in Hendersonville all the time. Lake house out in that area. So
oh, okay.
Going out through there.
Yeah, I went to church with Johnny Cash at Hendersonville Baptist Church.
Okay, you son of a Baptist.
Right, and I was, I used to have a big accent. But my first job was at Opryland. Yeah, and I was wondering if you had any new auditions to Dollywood coming up.
Well, you do. Are you auditioning?
No. I'm a writer now, but...
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Did you say, do I have auditions?
No, do you have any auditions? Like, any new things coming up on Dollywood, or...
Do auditions? I said, we do. I thought you said you weren't auditioning. I was going to say, I think you got a job. But, this year we added a new ride, a roller coaster ride called the Barnstormer.
Okay.
Pretty scary. We got several great rides that the kids love. We have great food. We have great music. We have some of everything at that park. I'm very proud of Dollywood. We've been in business. This is our 26th year now. And through that, we have our Imagination Library through the Dolly Parton Foundation there. Mm-hmm. And, through the Dollywood Foundation. And where we give books away to children.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that for many years now. We've given out about 40 million books to children from the time they're born. They get a book once a month till they start kindergarten. So mm-hmm. it's a nice, wonderful, warm feeling to be able to do something for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, is the Barnstormer, is that like the planes, like the Opryland used to have?
Yeah, it is. like based on those old barnstormer planes where people used to fly around farms and drop down, and then they'd do kind of little air circuses and all that. But it's based on that.
Oh, okay.
It's really not an airplane, really. It's they've done it some way to where it's kind of scary. But
I gotta check that out.
But it's not. Well, yeah, you do. Everybody says it's very scary, so that's bringing a lot of business in. It's been our most popular so far.
Oh, great. Now, is there going to be a Broadway show about your life or a movie about your life?
Yeah, there is going to be both, hopefully. I wanted to always write my life story as a musical for stage, and I've been working on that for a few years. There's no set time. It's just when I'm done and ready to start doing that. But I still would also like to do a movie that had music in it. A lot of the things I'm writing for stage would be a lot of original music with a few pieces of the, you know, the hits. But I'd still love to do a movie of my life and all that. So I'm working on that behind the scenes, and there's no big hurry. I can't do my life story when I ain't lived it all yet.
I heard that Kristen Chenoweth you'd like her to do.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth is the person I'd love to do me on stage, and who knows who might do the movie version. We'll see at the time.
Well, no, thanks so much for your time today.
Okay.
And I look forward to seeing your show in Chicago.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Stephen, thanks so much for being on with me. I mean, Dolly Parton on our show. I've yet to interview her. Jerry Nunn got the scoop, but I'm so glad that he did, being a fellow Tennessean. What's the one question you'd want to ask Dolly if you ever got to talk to her?
Oh, my gosh. I would ask her. I wouldn't even put it to the public. I would just go, are you really covered in tattoos?
Are you really covered in tattoos?
I think she's covered in tattoos. I think from like the near the elbow up, I think all around her chest, her back, I think it's covered.
Really?
Yes. And they're very sort of ornate. I think they're flowery. I think they're just beautiful. Very colorful. I think she loves them, but she covers them up. She always has the same type of outfit on quite a bit in the last, 20, 30 years?
Uh-huh.
And there's always been rumblings about it, but I would love to know. I would love to know that I think she's still covered. That makes me so happy to think that she's like, yeah, put a butterfly up there, you know?
Of course she probably has butterflies on her, for sure.
Oh, of course she does. Come on.
Yeah. That's so funny. That's not a question I would think. I never even thought of Dolly Parton having tattoos now.
Oh, yeah. I think she's a lot more rebellious than anybody knows. In her relationship, in her life, in her personal life, I think she's so much more, avant-garde, I guess is the best word.
Yeah. A renegade.
Yes, very much so. She doesn't sort of live by the norm.
That's why the gays love her. That's why we all love her.
I love what her husband does when she comes home from the road and she's been home like 3 or 4 days. He always says, ain't you got somewhere you need to be? Because it's nice being around you for a few days, but God, get out. Go.
Yeah.
Better when you're not around here, honey. We can make up when you come back.
Oh, my God.
Well, good. Well, have a good day, darling.
You too, and I hope everybody has a great week, whatever you're choosing to do. And I hope we enjoy some good weather this week. Looks like we're going to. And we will have another show for you, and before you know it. You and I. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Hey.